Psalm is on prayer. I'm going to give you a little experience I had in prayer, and then we're going to discuss why God even asked us to have prayer. July 1964, Abilene, Texas, 20 years old, going with a little girl from Louisiana, and I get a phone call about 8 or 9 o'clock that night saying, "Ernie, I'm going to be in Keene tomorrow. My mother's driving over, and I'm going to be there about 2 o'clock, and I'm going to leave there about 9 or 10 o'clock that night. And man, if there's any way that you can be there, I'd like to see you." And of course, I said, "I'll do my very best." Now, I had a problem. I was a student call porter in Abilene, and student call porter, you don't get paid. All your money goes to the conference, and they take it, and then they send it to the school. And if you're lucky and beg them and tell them you're out of shoes, they'll send you a little bit. And my parents would help out. But since this was unexpected, and it was in the middle of the week, I didn't have enough money to go to drive over to Keene and come back. So I thought, well, there's only one way I can go. I was selling books, and they were $10 down and $10 a month. And so the $10 didn't particularly help me. But if I sold a set of books for cash, in other words, somebody would pay $100, $30 was my commission. And so what I would do is keep the $30, send the rest to the conference. They wouldn't like that, but I didn't care. And tell them, you know, "Hey, I already got my commission. Don't pay me on this." So I needed $30 cash sale. Probably one out of every 20 sets of books you sold were cash. Now I had two leads. I had a lead in Abilene. I was in Clyde, which is a little south of Abilene. And I had a lead in Merkle, which was a little town north of Abilene. And I knew because of the timing that I had one shot. So I had to pick the right lead and hope that they paid cash in order to go see this little Louisiana girl from Louisiana that I really wanted to see. I've been going with her for about a year and a half. So, 20 years old, did I pray? Yes, I did. "Lord, come on. You know what I want. I want to see her. You know my situation. I got two leads. Tell me in the morning. Give me an impression. Give me something that I could go and pick the right lead." So, the next morning, I get up and I pray and I feel like I should go to Merkle. So, I get in my car. I drive to Merkle. I go to the post office, find the street, and they said, "Go down to the end of the street," and it's a house at the end of the street. So I'm driving down this street, and I get to the end, and man, over here was a two-story mansion, fence around it, big yard, probably on like an acre of land, and I said, "Thank you, Lord. I mean, if this lady's interested and she's got money, I know how to do this." So I'm very happy. So I go up, knock on the door. She comes to the door. "Hello, Mrs. Rogers. I'm Ernie Pye with the Home Health Education Service. You wanted some information." And she says, "Well, I'm not Mrs. Rogers." I said, "Well, is this, you know, 246? "No, no. Got this wrong address. She lives across the street." And so I look across the street. Man, it was over. I mean, you know, tires in the front yard, run down house, whatever, you know. I mean, it was just over. So I go up and, "Hi." "You don't want a set of Bible books, do you?" You know, about like that, with that enthusiasm. You know, so she lets me in, and I dutifully tell her, $10 down, $10 a month. She says, "Well, I think I'll take them." And I said, "Well, you do have the $10. "Yes, not a problem." So I'm thinking, well, you know, sale's a sale. So she goes back to get her money, and she comes out, and she says, "By the way, do I get a discount if I pay cash?" I never even asked, because I assumed there's no way. And I said, "Yes." So she writes me out a check. I go to the bank. Check is good. put $30 in my pocket, bam, I'm off to Keene. So anyway, had a nice time for a few hours, and I don't know how this happened, but she was at the, on the campus, and she's at the girls' dorm, and I'm at the Mizma gate, and she said, I don't know how this fits in the story, but I always kind of thought it was humorous. She says, I knew it was you because I could tell by the way you walked. So now I don't know how that happened. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So we had a nice time up until the last hour, and because she broke up with me. At least she waited till the last hour. I mean, you know. Now, here's my point. Why is that story important to me? You bet. You know, one of the things I used to do as a pastor was have spiritual gift seminars, and would be away from the church, and we would draw diagrams of our spiritual life. And then we would partner up with people and have prayer and never show the details, but just the deal. And when you sketch my spiritual life, there was many highs and there were a lot of lows. I struggled a lot with my relationship with God. But when it was at low, I always went back to that experience and thought, you know, my God cared enough about me to listen to a little lovesick 20-year-old boy who just pleaded, Lord, you know, help me, help me, help me. Didn't even have enough faith when I saw that poor classed home to even ask for what I was praying for, but yet he was there. So that always stuck with me because I knew he cared. I might not care, but I knew he cared. Why does God invite us to pray with Him? He knows us before we were born. He says, I know how many hairs are on your head. I know what's going on. I know your words before you even speak them. So why does He ask us to have prayer? Who wants to go first? Yes.
I think this is because more.
Sue, turn on the fans.
For us, so we can build our faith when we are praying, and then the prayer is whip for Satan. So when we pray, Satan go away from us. That's the only time that Satan is scared when we are praying. I know God. He knows everything. What I thought, who am I, where I come from. He knows everything before I was born. Me, but when I am praying, that helped me. After talking to God, that relationship talking. The other day I was walking from my work where I live, and in the road there's not too many cars. I was talking to God all day. God, you know me, you know my family, you know my father, you know my mother, you know everything. They're sick. I was talking to him like a friend. He wanted to hear that. And the other angels, the other planets, they want to hear that. That's why we are praying, they're seeking for the God.
Okay. So you think other universes are interested in what in the world's going on with us?
Yeah, they're looking at us like in the middle. They look at everything what we're doing here.
Okay, very good. Who else has observations? Why prayer? Yes.
Prayer is communication.
Okay.
To me, communication is so important in relationships. I talk to the Lord every single day, just like I'm talking to Rodney. And if you think about it, when you don't communicate with a person, you don't build a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I want a close walk with the Lord. I need, and even in the sermon this morning, Rodney looked at me and he said, that's you. And I said, what? He said, you talk to the Lord every day. I said, I can't even imagine what I would be like if I did. Because, I mean, some days, when the pastor asks me, he'll be able to spitfire somebody, yes, I sure have. And I can tell you, if I didn't have Jesus, a holy angel that was assigned to me, I don't know how to get by.
Okay.
I build the relationship. The Lord has opened the door for me to actually talk to Him. I don't have to go through another person. I can talk to God.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Is prayer an obligation? Because we're told, pray without ceasing. We're told that, you know, if you don't have a prayer life, you probably most likely won't go to heaven. Is prayer an obligation?
No.
I got a no. I got a what? A gift. Okay. A reward. How about praying when you eat? Obligation?
No.
You sure? A necessity?
No.
No?
The food would be good or bad. Eat whether you pray over it or not. A bad cook ain't going to happen.
In case you didn't hear, I said prayer ain't going to help bad cooking.
I used to work with this one man when I was working construction. He said, as long as you pray before you eat, it's going to be okay. Now, he knew I was a vegetarian, and he said, well, if that matters, God will purify whatever you pray about.
Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. Why do we pray then when we eat? Can that become an obligation? So why prayer?
You don't want me to talk. I will say.
I like you to talk.
No, you told me a couple of weeks to be quiet.
I'm not afraid to do that. But I'm always interested in what you're going to say, so speak up.
Well, I started doing a little study on prayer a long time ago, and of course I don't remember anything. I had to write it down, so I wrote my own little paper, and I did this from the standpoint of Luke, as though, and I do it from as the first person. I'm Luke.
Mm-hmm.
What was the secret of Jesus' power? And Luke goes through this thing, and he says, I observed him, I watched him. And everything he did, he always did in prayer. And I asked him about it. I said, how come you do it? He says, because I can do nothing of myself. This is the Father that does through me. And sure enough, when he did all the miracles, he always prayed first. It is a thing. The biggest one there is when he pulled Lazarus from the grave. He prayed ahead of time. He brought... Man, if you think that's power, you just wait till that last day when he comes in glory and all these people come up.
Mm-hmm.
The secret of Jesus' power was prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's the only secret that we need, is to understand we are worthless unless we have a connection with the Father. And we do this through prayer.
Very well put. Very well put. Isn't it ironic that the only person that walked this earth that was sinless, committed no sin, had, in the Bible, the best prayer life? And one of the people that had a great prayer life is one of the biggest sinners that walked around here, and that was David. So we have that contrast. Now, does prayer change God's mind?
Hello, wait a minute.
Whoop! I gotta just wait a minute.
What about Abraham?
What about him?
He was able to talk God down. He was the first Jewish guy. and he talked God down from 50 down to 5 or something like that, or 10. So God, you can change God's mind.
I just ask questions. Don't. That's a good one. Does prayer change God's mind?
No.
Gotta know. Got a yes.
Didn't Moses change God's mind?
I don't answer questions. I ask questions. So what are you referring to?
When God was ready to just say, we're going to start over with you, Moses. This, I'm tired of these people. And Moses prayed and intervened, talked to God, intervened for the people of Israel.
Okay. Who else would like to chime in?
Hezekiah did.
When he prayed, did he live by...
Long life. Okay.
And Jonah.
Okay.
It wasn't Jonah, it was the people who changed God's mind.
All right. Who else would like to chime in? Yes, Trevor.
I'm thinking that this is not really changing God's mind. Last week we talked about God's will and God's sovereign power. And God knows everything that's going to happen. Prayer changes us, the way we feel about people, the way we feel about things, even when it seems God doesn't answer. It does something for us, or at least it should.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe God's mind is being changed in any way. He knows you're going to ask and intercede for these people.
Okay.
He knows you're going to do whatever.
Okay.
He's giving you a chance to do your thing.
Okay.
And I'm talking about your healing.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Hezekiah. How many years did he add on to his life?
15.
Were they good years?
No.
Absolutely not. That's the irony of the whole thing. Those 15 years, little boy Manasseh got to see the worst of his daddy. The Babylonians came over and got to see all the treasure, and they end up going off into captivity. Okay. Now, what if Hezekiah had not prayed that prayer? What would have happened? Pardon? That's what it seems like. You see, I look at prayer, I go to Jesus, and I see this as the ultimate prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, paraphrasing, Father, I do not want to go through this. Please give me an avenue of escape. Anything but this. However, what your will is, I will do. You have close friends. Every time I see Rob or I see Charles, what would it be like if I said, Rob or Charles, here's my problems and I need a solution. And I see them the next time and here's my problems and I need a solution. And I see them the next time. What do you think Rob and Charles would think every time I called? No. They'll be like I do Rob. Hey, I'm busy. Didn't I say this year I wasn't going to... I'm sorry. It's just so easy. No. They might be the kind of people that would show up, but they certainly wouldn't look forward to it. And so often what we do with our Father, who, by the way, invites us, think of the privilege, He invites us to have a one-on-one conversation with Him as much as we want to. Unlimited. Have you ever thought about that? You have a direct line that you can pick up and talk to God and tell Him anything that's on your mind. If you're David and you're Jan and you're unhappy, David says, Lord, if there's any way, kill my enemy. Heap problems, get them fired, get them demoted, get them out of here. Maybe she needs me to come over and help her with her prayer. Do you see? God invites us to say that. God invites us to say, I'm frustrated. I'm going to come to you blank. I'm frustrated. I'm sick of this mess. I'm tired of this mess. But it's how you end the conversation that's the most important. Because He's willing to listen. But the question is, are we willing to listen? And see, sometimes that's where I find myself. Lord, here's my want list. Now, I want you to work on it. I want you to get busy on it. I want you to do what I think's best. And I'll get back with you at lunchtime. And we'll pick up our conversation over a little food. And then I'll get back with you at 6 o'clock when we'll go through and bless some more food. And then we think that's a tremendous prayer relationship. Blank.
A difference or a spin on what you said is that these two men do that every day. People come to them or to me, and we're happy to help them every single time they come.
Yes.
The frustration comes is when you tell them these are the things you need to do, and they leave and they come back with the same problem, having not done anything you asked them to do.
Yep. And, you know, can you imagine the frustration that God has? I mean, yes.
I actually have a question.
Sure.
We've been talking about this at our house about changing God's mind. And so I really want some instruction on how... I told my kids, if you're praying to God and He changes His mind like in the Bible... What is that saying? Is he lying to get you to say something back? Or is he really changing his mind? I don't know what to tell my kids. We have these conversations and we're, you know, hypothesizing, but we don't really know.
Okay. To me, the key to this is, well, we'll go ahead and take this and I'll comment, and then we'll take this, take this.
I don't think that the Lord ever really wants to destroy anyone. It's more of an if-then statement. If they disregard his dictate, then they need to be destroyed. If they come back to the Lord, then they don't need to be destroyed.
Okay.
I don't consider him changing his mind.
Okay.
It was a response to something that they...
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I believe God answers all prayers.
Okay.
Sometimes he says yes. Like when I can't find something, you know. I'm simple enough to say... Calm me down so I can find it.
Very important.
Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait a while.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he says keep on praying.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep on praying.
Okay.
His will be done.
Okay.
And I know I have some frustrations, but here's what prayer has done. It's changed me.
Okay.
Not that God has changed. He changed my outlook. And when I have gotten so humble, I get to the point where I just simply say, okay, your will be done, Lord. I'm still here, so you have a purpose to be here.
Okay.
So I noticed that what I have now is peace in the very same environment.
Okay.
Hallelujah, praise God. So I thank God for the tools that He has evolved in me.
Good. Eloise?
Before I answer God, my duty says, I have something better for you.
Okay. All right. Now let's go to the question. Well, I always go back to the only parable in the Bible that means anything to me, the prodigal, good father. Son comes to his daddy and says, I want out of here. Do you think that's the first time? It's very important. Do you think that's the first time?
No.
Do you think that he just casually walked up one day and said, hey, Dad, by the way, why don't you give me a third of everything that I have coming, because that was his inheritance, and I'm going to take off and I'm going to have a great time. And the dad says, you know, that's just a real good request. I guess I'll just have to do it. Do you think that happened?
No.
All right. Why did he let him go? That's right. He had begged, he had pleaded, he had whimpered, he had pouted, he had come many times. His actions showed that the daddy looked at him and finally said, with a broken heart, tears running down his eyes, I have no other choice but to let him learn the lesson the absolute hard way. Go. And then, like all daddies do, he stood on the porch every day waiting. There was a council in heaven. It's generally accepted. The first book written was the book of Job. Council in heaven, and Satan shows up. And God says to him, "Well, what have you been up to?" Paraphrasing. Great paraphraser. He says, "Man, I've been walking around taking names. And I'm just victory over here, and I got this person. And man, I'm just really drumming up an army of people that really don't like you, God." And God says, "Well, that's interesting. Have you thought about my good friend Job?" And you all know the story. Why did God allow that? Come on.
Well, God called Job right, the righteous man.
Yep.
Because Job had a relationship.
Why did he allow it? That's not hitting the point.
He allowed it because he was confident that Job had faith enough to endure the test.
Why else?
For us.
Who said that? Absolutely. Who else? Absolutely. Who else? Absolutely. They're all watching this. Did Job pray? Oh, yeah. Pray that he died. Pray, why was I even born? You see, prayer is sharing with your friend, the Father, what's on your heart. It's good to get it out. Why do counselors allow people to talk for 15 minutes and then they say, "Uh-huh." I told Rob one time, if he just wrote me, going on vacation, if he just wrote me four little cards, I'd say, "Huh, that's interesting. Uh-huh. Well, what do you think of that?" See? You know.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah, how does that make you feel? You know, and see? Because it does us good. Do we change God's mind? I don't want to get caught on words. The answer is, in my opinion, absolutely. Because it gives him the right, with the universe watching, to do things different. Because when it was all over with Job, he turned to the universe and he said, "Did this man say everything that was right about me?" And the universe said, "Yes, we see." Even though he was blessed, when he took everything away, he had tough questions, but he did say the right thing about you. Do you think that John the Baptist prayed to get out of the prison?
Yes.
Absolutely. Jesus prayed not to go to the cross. How about the martyrs that were set on fire, that sang? Do you think that they prayed somewhere along that line, "Get me out of here"? Yes. What I've discovered is those people that have the right relationship with God, in some circumstances, not all, some circumstances, what they go through is a greater tribute to God than if He healed them or pulled a miracle. I think of our good friend Tio. I wish I was here last week. I heard about that. I mean, you know, I went with Trent to comfort him. And we walked away comforted, blessed. And I said to myself, if I have that relationship with God as this man has, no wonder nothing to fear on this earth. And I got to believe that our dear brother Tio prayed hard. I want you to think about God. When I see somebody I really like, I look forward to sharing. See what's going on. Laugh. Cry. It never becomes mundane when you're with good friends. It's when you're with strangers that it becomes mundane. Because you can almost write out the conversation. You know, I used to go to Iowa to visit relatives, and so I used to say, well, let me get my speech down. Yes, it is a long trip to Iowa. Yes, it is warm in Texas. Yes, Texas is a big state. I mean, you see, no relationship, so I knew what the conversation was every time. Don't do that to God. If you're not moved to bless the food, don't bless it. Don't make that an obligation. I've been with Rob at times and just say, Rob, say something. Rob, I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about something different. He's a good enough friend, I can do that. Leroy's a good enough friend that I can say, shut up, Leroy. That's what God's like. Prayer's never an obligation. I know all the things that's said. Yes, you've got to have a praying relation. I can give you quote after quote. If you want to get to heaven, you better be a person of prayer. But man, that's not the object of praying. Praying is talking with somebody you really like, you really look forward to, you really want to call, you want to make that long distance call, and you want to share with what's going on in your life, and you want to listen to what's going on in his life so he can talk to you. And then he has such a good friend and such a good confidence that then you can ask for directions and for guidance. And you can lay your problems at the door. And you can ask for things. But always, God, you know the best. And I trust you. And I will put it at your doorstep. I told this story, but boy, it just resonates with me. Rob and I had a great idea of having Dallas Home come over and do a concert here on Rise Again. And Rob and I had a couple of little sermonettes that we would fit in around that great album. And so I said to God, God, paraphrasing, you owe me one. And I want this one to be the one. I think it's a great program for the church. I like Dallas's Holmes' message and his music. I think it would be good for our ministry. So I'm going to proceed as if this is what you want me to do. But if you don't want me to do this, shut the door. And so I went over, saw Dallas Home in person. Rob and I and Ian and some, we shot a little video. I went over and talked to his business manager. I made the finance arrangements. I pushed and I pushed. And bam! That door shut. Not only did it shut, as I say, they put Chester drawers up against it, TVs, hammer and nails, and put the board. I got the message. The interesting thing, was I disappointed? Absolutely. Spent a lot of time and a lot of thought. Thought it was a brilliant idea. After the initial, why God, I just accept it. And say, you know what? Got to get that one out of my system. So let's move on. Now, I still go see Dallas Home and I wave at him. But, you know, it really is out of my system. Because I got the answer. Not the one I wanted, but I got the answer. Yes, Rob?
It's really interesting when you look at Christ's conversation with us and the explanation when he comes. He never tells those who are not going to heaven anything about what they do bad. Mm-hmm. They may say it, or they may try to convince him of all the good things. All he says is, I didn't know you.
Yeah. 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 Just never had that relationship. So, to sum it up, I do not have the gift of prayer. I do not have with my Father where I kneel down and pray for 15 or 20 minutes. It's not my style. I talk to him. There are times when I do pray formally to him. But most of the time I'm lying in bed, going through. But the biggest change I made in my life, which was a hard one, was to listen. Because by nature I'm just aggressive. And to listen. That's why God was so good with me on the Dallas Home thing. Because that was my aggressive nature. I had us going to Broadway with this program. See, I know how to dream. I thought, man, if we... But see, maybe God said, Ernie, remember that humility problem you've had all your life? But he nailed it shut. And that I'm thankful. Because see, there is no doubts today. But that's God. He leads each one of us, just as we do with our children and our grandchildren. I treat Kendall, and I treat Shay, and I treat Michael, all completely different because they're all three different personalities. God treats us all the same way. There is no one formula. There is no one prayer. There is no one thing because we're individuals. And He's a God that every time we talk, He puts everything on hold and He listens. Father in heaven, thank you for who you are. I say this many times, Father, but I sincerely mean it. Thank you for the people in this class.
Amen.
Thank you that Rob and I, along with Roger, have an opportunity to stand before these good people and very humbly share our thoughts about you and your love and your character. Help us to have a good Sabbath. Help us to have a good week. And may we all be back here next week is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.